From what I can tell, old Huang En Lai was the one brave enough to answer. The records were systematically destroyed. Again, the 10th director paused to think. I believe the threat to global tranquility is genuine, that your plan to shelter the world with silence is practical and well-considered, and that your desire to protect your people is as humane as selfish. The public fears much, and rightly, from this new use of the device. That truth must be exposed. But the question of origin is both separate and old. The public feels no active pain from that curiosity, and any answer you give would be painfully partial, aiding far less than it harms. I will facilitate your silence on that count. If my utopians catch the thief who targeted Black Sakura and attain the device, I will seek to destroy it, and I consider myself to have no obligation to reveal its origin. Many shoulders relaxed. To anyone? Wang Laojing tested. Would it be easier for you, reader, if I adopt the King of Spain's habit and differentiate these Chinese directors by the regions whose sub-nation strats they represent? Wang Laojing, then, is competent Beijing. I've been tasked with this by many authorities, J.E.D.D. Mason answered, but all task me to heal the peace, not harm it. And there is none among them who does not keep secrets in return. If I tell Patrem Meum that all threat is ended, and say the same to censor, chair, headmaster, their majesty, and their grace, then they and theirs will rest content. Ando smiled. We will do all in our power to help you ensure the device is found and destroyed. He paused to let the others nod assent. Whether that means giving you what few records we have of it, acting as you direct, or pledging not to act again, since today's action was so horribly disruptive. The billions whose happiness you guard would thank you if they knew, Chichiwe. J.E.D.D. Mason answered. However, I believe the Canner device is the prior, but not the larger threat.
The 710 list?
Yes.
It was none of us, Beijing answered for all. J.E.D.D. Mason scanned their faces once again.
That, I believe.
Beijing. Do we know the reason for the theft yet?
Shanghai.
Your Bash child was involved, Ando.
Japan. Masami is another victim of this, yes? And knows nothing.
Korea. I understand Black Sakura is going to publish both lists now. It's not clear to me who benefits.
Shanghai.
Sugiyama's list does hurt us, but it hurts others even more.
Shanghai the Younger.
Ganymede especially.
Dongbei.
Yes, Ganymede and Casimir Perry both come out worse than us in Sugiyama's list.
All reviewed Sugiyama's list, which they had now in an advanced copy, distributed to the Hive leaders as tomorrow's publication loomed.
Number 1, Masonic Emperor Cornell Mason. Number 2, The Anonymous. Number 3, Sniper. Number 4, Zeven Racer. Number 5, Cousin Chair Briar Kosala. Number 6, Brillist Headmaster Felix Faust. Number 7, Mitsubishi Director Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi. Number 8, François Quenet. Number 9, Julia Doria Pamphili. Number 10, Lorelei Cookie Cook.
Korea. Spain could also be an intended target. Including Zeven Racer on the list is an insult to the king as much as to Perry.
Beijing.
Everyone knows Spain was not involved when Zeven Racer tried to fix the election for them. Bringing attention to Racer will only remind everyone how honorable Spain was withdrawing from the race after Racer's exposure. Casimir Perry's the one who looks bad for benefiting from Spain's misfortune. Shanghai. Sugiyama's far from the first to point out that Zeven Racer is the only reason Perry is prime minister, but no one's ever said before that Sniper was the only reason Ganymede is president, at least not so publicly. That's a far worse blow. Japan. What do you think, Tycoon?
Himself. The worst blow is not to Europe, Chichiwe, but to Asia.
Beijing. To Asia? Why do you phrase it like that?
Himself. François Quesnay.
Dongbei. The eighth name on the list. J.E.D.D. Mason fell silent here, breathing slowly, like one sick with fever, struggling to stay awake and speak with visitors.
What is the source?
He asked at last. Beijing. Of what?
Himself. If you wrote a poem titled The Source, what would be its subject?
Of the directors, Ando is least afraid to answer his strange questions.
Nature, he ventured. The interconnectedness of life, forests, the ocean, maybe rural life, a farm, a spring of water.
Such trust, reader, voicing these personal, almost theological opinions and trusting him to make the tangent pertinent.
Himself. Do all agree?
Shanghai. Mine would be about spring. New growth.
Beijing.
Spring, yes.
Dongbei.
Land, perhaps. Land changing, the parting of the snow. The ocean, or a well, or maybe a mountain or a tree. This last came from Kimura Kunie, the second Japanese director, who had done well in the decades since he realized it was more prudent to be Ando's strong right arm than Ando's rival.
Then you are alone.
The dead softness of his voice felt cautious now, as when you comfort a wounded animal, and you know your syllables are meaningless, but seeing it in pain, you must do something. Faced with that question, a cousin might answer, the heart. A European, the past. A humanist, themself, a brillist, the psyche, a utopian, imagination. All are pieces of the Masonic answer, humanity. Only the Mitsubishi place the source outside humanity, in nature. Through the tracker, I could see fear spread from eye to eye among the nine directors.
In this thought, you are the most alone.
This is what Sugiyama thought, which Masami Mitsubishi would not have said, but all Earth will read now. Why do you see danger in that? At last, Greenpeace Mitsubishi director Jyoti Bandyopede broke her silence. Her vibrant suit was cut like a sherwani, patterned with the fierce, flame-orange spring blossoms of a palash tree, with a leaf-green sash across her chest, representing the veto reserved in the terms of the Greenpeace-Mitsubishi Hive merger 64 years before. Her expressions had been the most guarded throughout this, a sad spectator more than a confederate. And I gender her female for you, reader, as a reminder of how far apart she stands from Ando and his ilk. Everyone knows caring for the land is our great strength, greater now than ever. Are you expecting some new hue and cry about exorbitant rents?
That my servant may speak to.
After a moment's silence, I remembered Dominic was missing, so he must mean me. Yes, directors, I began, hearing my voice shake as I feared recognition. Speaking for the Tribune on behalf of Romanova, yes, we do predict a new hostility about rents and property. It is no breach of confidence that I share the censor's predictions here, reader. J.E.D.D. Mason is a hiveless tribune. The censor's data is at his service while he is at Romanova's. Beijing. We've capped rent increases, and we've been acquiring land less rapidly, just as the censor recommended. I. Yes, you have. You've made good efforts. The censor's data reflects that. But people are already so worried about it, and there are so many hostile counter-campaigns, so many people riled up, most people aren't aware you've slowed down. They just see Mitsubishi landlords on every street and feel like you're eating up more land, even if you aren't. Sugiyama's list will make it worse, much worse. Beijing. Why? Who is this François Quesnay? I. Was, not is, director. François Quesnay is a historical figure. Sugiyama was planning one of their clever presence-by-absence pieces. Those in the room seemed to lack enthusiasm for the journalistic art. François Quesnay was one of the leaders of the Physiocrats, a group of European economists influential in the 17th century at the very birth of modern economic theory. They believed that wealth and value came from land, shared your idea about the source, in a sense. I smiled, thinking how much more clumsily I would have phrased this without his frame to guide me. When Adam Smith came along, a big part of what they did was disagree with the physiocrats, saying the source of wealth was labor, not land. Everyone since has basically agreed with Smith, even Marx and Moret, though they refined it with ideas about capital and axons. But these days, everyone pretty much thinks in terms of human labor as the source, population, work hours, especially with the hive system. Hives competing for more members, seeming strong or weak based on how many they gain or lose. Everyone counts people, directors. Everyone except you. I don't disagree with Marx and Smith, Beijing boasted. We value our size. Our people. J.E.D.D. Mason cut in softly. How many voting shares are presently pledged to you, director? 1.2 billion? Precisely. How many? 1,232,400,000 and some? How many people? How many members pledge their voting shares to you to make that block? About 150 million. Precisely how many? He frowned at his companions. Maybe slightly under 150? You know much more precisely how much of nature you represent than how many people. Again, I smiled, seeing how his meandering demonstration made the point more clearly than the straight-seeming path. Exactly. I confirmed. These days, not even Gordian still clings to the corporate model so closely as to distribute Brillist votes by share instead of by person. Sugiyama's editorial on François Quesnay would have been their manifesto that the Mitsubishi shareholder democracy has failed. Shareholder democracy makes us strong, Korea objected fastest. It's an incentive. Our members work harder to get property, own their homes, invest, knowing hard work will make their voices stronger, one share vote at a time. Young Shanghai nodded. We own more than half the property on Earth now. That proves our system works. There was pride in Korea's glance at Bandyopadhyay here, or I should say at India, for back when the Mitsubishi Hive proposed its mighty marriage with Greenpeace, it had lusted after more than Greenpeace's 12 billion acres of nature reserve and 500 million nature-loving members. It lusted after India. The lion's share of the Indian nation's threat was always with Greenpeace, and an entrenched cultural tic something between tradition and self-defense, makes Indian landowners intractably unwilling to sell India's land to outsiders.